So this morning, I want to talk about time. It's something we all struggle with, knowing how to use it wisely. And I want to start by reading in Psalm 90. Verses 10 through 12. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. So, yeah, we know that 70 to 80 years is a pretty fair or maybe average life expectancy. At least I think that's what statistics would say. And but I think for those of us who are younger, that age, like 70 and 80, seems a long way off, and it doesn't really, we don't really think about it as seriously when we're young. For me, things like a close shave and in a car accident or other scary things like that make me realize more fully the saying or whatever that the old must die, but the young can die. In saying that, I don't believe that we should be living in fear of death, like always a unhealthy fear of death, but I think if we have I guess in this version it says count our days, or another version says numbering our days, but if we have like a healthy numbering of our days, I think that's very beneficial. There's this story, and it's not a true story, but it's about these two girls that were in an elevator, and it began falling, and they began saying how they don't want to die and talking about the things that they want to do yet before they die. And the story ends, the elevator doors open, and with the crisis over, they walk out and they just plan to go back to everyday life, I guess, or in other words, they aren't like, oh, we've got another chance, now we can go do all these things that we wanted to. So like that, those brushes with death can shake us in that way to realize the things that we want to do or that we regret that we have done. I think it's good if we consider if like from time to time if we're ready to die. So there's one thing in my life I want to do. And I began realizing this when my sister Sarah passed away. It's what people will remember of me, or like the legacy I'm going to leave behind. And I noticed that children will remember, like they'll remember the smallest little kindnesses that you do to them, or the time you invested in them, and that's the things they'll remember you by. And so I guess that also apply to the negative side. I think if you'd be mean or if you wouldn't have invested valuable time, I think that would be the same way. And I wouldn't want to be on my deathbed and have to think of all the things that I wanted to do or the things that I regret that I had done. So there's this other story. I think Dwayne has already said it, but I don't remember what point he was making when he told the story. I remember more from what I saw in this one video. In the video, this guy had a quart jar or something. He fills it with golf balls, and then he asks the people if it's full, and someone says, yeah, that's full. And then he's like, well, no. And so he fills it with maybe marbles or something, And then he asked again, like, is it full now? And someone's like, yeah, okay, yeah, it's full now. And then he's like, no, it's still not full. And so he puts in sand. And I don't remember, it's kind of vague, but I think at that point he said, now it's full. In the one version he said, and then he asked what the people think the lesson is in that object lesson. And someone says, there's always room for more. But he says no. Or the original guy says no. If you had started with any of the other things, you wouldn't have gotten it all in. And so, or I guess in the video, I think he said, you have to do the most important things first, or you won't get them done. So if someone says they don't have enough time to do something, like say, spend time with your little siblings, or anybody for that matter, it's just a matter of doing the most important things first, or perhaps properly prioritizing the most important things. See, I want to read Ephesians, a couple of verses in Ephesians 5. Verses 15 and 16. So where is that? Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. And I think that's one good way that we can make the most of our time. The other thing, it kind of ties into this, and it's something else also that my sister said when she passed away. She said that she regrets having wasted her time watching some videos. Like, not that they were bad videos, but just I guess kind of foolish videos that don't really have a reason or any substance to it. Sometimes I find myself thinking after I watched a video, like, man, is that a video I want to remember if I'd be on my deathbed? Like, remember having watched that video. So anyway, I think if we could remind ourselves about that before we'd watch a video, it would save a lot of regret someday. Anyway, this opening was inspired by things Sarah said before she passed away, and I find it special that it's almost exactly 2 years to the day that she has passed away. And let's remember to make the correct things most important and then give them the proper priorities. So I guess I'll end with that. Thank you for your attention, and I'll open it for comments and corrections. God bless you all.
Thank you. That was a very sobering and thoughtful word. It seems like the world, maybe our adversary intentionally is done that. He's put so much just so much mental clutter in our lives that it's like we can't think on the deep things anymore. There's just so many bombardments day after day, minute after minute, of just so many different things that it's like you don't get to dwell on the things that are eternal. And I find myself wrestling with that all the time. We just have to be I have to be very diligent at trying to shut that stuff out, and I don't do a very good job all the time. But it reminded me of a story of a gentleman I met in the nursing home. He was like a Pentecostal brother, that had was given a life sentence and 40 years in prison for escaping or being found with some escaped convicts or something. It was a long story, but anyways, he met the Lord in jail, and there was no chance of parole, and he somehow the Lord made a way for him to there was some loophole that some politician or something looked into like 10 years after he was in, and said, hey, wait a minute, we can't charge this guy with other crime, and so they he had some kind of vision, and that the Lord was going to let him out, and then he did. And I asked him, I said, how long after you were let out of prison did you stop thanking him? Like, or you know, you were given basically a death sentence in jail, and how long did it take for you to go back to normal life? And he said, 2 weeks. I thought, wow, isn't that the human condition, the human heart? Like, we just kind of forget about these things so quickly. But he, kind of a sad story. He kind of fell into sin, and it seemed like the Lord had chastised him by putting him in a sick bed. And I don't think he repented when he died, before he died. And so it's kind of a grievous situation. But I just, yeah, I just think we need some serious diligence to not let go of the things that we have that are eternal, and to focus on, stop focusing on the things of this temporal world.
Thank you, Brother David. And at your tender age, yes, it's so important. I appreciate your comments, Brother Robert, because I was reading even this morning about Dr. Eloy Jones. He's dead now, but he was a physician who gave up his medical practice for one reason. Anyone know what it was, Brother Brett? No? Because when he got people well, I think he was British, you know, I think he was British. If he got people well, they would go back to the old lifestyle of drinking and partying and all that. And he says, what am I wasting my time, my occupation of getting people? As soon as they get well, he was a Christian, they just do the same thing. So he gave it up, saying he needs discipleship. He wants discipleship. So he gave up his career for that, for a better career of not just preaching like that. And so today is the day of salvation. Don't accept the grace of God in vain. And what was the one that Felix said when Paul preached? He trembled, right? He shook or something. Did he shake? His knees were trembling or something. And then what did he say? Come back. Come back for a more convenient season. Eternity doesn't have a more convenient season. Today is the day of salvation. Let us remember that we are frail, like you said, Brother David. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, thanks, Brother David. That was some sobering thoughts there about how we use our time. I felt like maybe that was directed at me, not intentionally. I struggle sometimes with watching videos that are unedifying. Gives me reason to pause and think about if I would look back and say, I regret that. I guess I want to look forward now and think about what I don't want to regret, if that makes sense. I guess that's all I have. May the Lord add his blessings.
Yeah, I appreciated the opening too, and appreciated those thoughts. I think it's important for us to think about the frailty of our life, and just how brief our life is. I had to think about there's that illustration of putting the big golf balls in the jar first, It seems like our days always get filled with something, don't they? And so at least I know my schedule does. So, and if I want to schedule something or have a day to be able to do something, I have to schedule it. I have to schedule it in there, or I'll never have time. My neighbor had a job that he wanted me to do, and he told me that he said I want you to give me a day right now. Like I want you to schedule me in. I don't want you to just do it whenever you have time. He said, I know how, I've been a contractor and I know how that goes. You'll never have time. And so, yeah, I guess, you know, and we just have to be intentional, or I do have to be intentional about things, or they don't happen, and then my days just get filled more unintentionally with things that aren't as important. I suppose some of you probably heard this, but that saying, old people must die and young people can die. I remember in someone in the I think it was an older man in the Amish church, saying that he disagreed with that. He thinks it's just exactly the opposite, that old people can die and young people must die. So just a little different way of looking at it. Both of them are true, or can be true, but just the idea that often old people, older people get to a point where they've lived a long life, they're ready, they feel ready to move on, and younger people full of life, full life ahead of them, and yet they have to die. Anyway, Lord bless you.
I appreciate the comments about having to schedule the time, but I kind of found that even if I haven't been scheduled, or I feel like I finally have a little bit of time to catch up, it seems like, whether this is God's will or whatever, like I always seem to have my schedule filled for whatever time I was given to have off. Like, it doesn't seem like whether I had, you know, presumed that I was going to have that day to do something, and then it just gets filled with something. Whether it's like, you know, everything is operating as it should be, and then suddenly your car breaks down, it's like, okay, now I have 5 days to fix it before I have to go back to work, or I have to, like, suddenly somebody needs to go somewhere, and it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go do that. I guess you could say no, but it just seems like good and proper that you'd fill your time with something. And I guess that thinking of others higher than yourselves, like sometimes I feel like you should be trying to help somebody else in the time that you have available. I struggle with those things often enough. But just to give people an encouragement in that way, like if you have that opportunity, it always seems like a blessing somehow.
Being not trying your strength for Thank you.
We